Amen. This first reading this morning comes from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 19 through 23. What do I imply? No, wait, I'm sorry. 9, 19 through 23. Okay. For though I am free with respect to all, I have made myself a slave to all so that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, so that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that I might by all means save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, so that I may share in its blessings. The second reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 45 through 49. Please stand as you are able for the reading of the gospel. When he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with the power from on high." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. You may be seated. Blessings, grace, and peace to each and every one of you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, I welcome you to St. Andrew United Methodist Church. I'm Pastor Monica Jefferson. I am the senior and lead pastor, and I am so excited because the sun really does exist. Yes. Sunshine! Oh, it's a wonderful thing. I love the way Jimmy said it, though. We have the actual sun shining as opposed to liquid sunshine. We've had a lot of liquid sunshine lately. I thank God for you being out and coming. And this morning, I continue in celebration and worship with the sermon series that we have been working on now for about 5 weeks. This is the fifth week. And we're talking about vision. And this series comes out of this whole understanding and notion of the work of the vision team here at St. Andrew. It's also based loosely on a book called It. And the book talks about this notion of it. What is it? And so today, in talking about vision, my sermon title is Vision. Do anything for it. Can you say that? Vision. Do anything for it. So before you get a little bit apprehensive, one of the things, as I said to the children, that we promise as members of a congregation or as people who are striving to be Christian believers, people who are part of this faith community, either by participation, that we look at people and invite them to give their time and their talents, their gifts, their money, their service, and of course their witness. And so we continue with that understanding today as I share my sermon summary with you. It says John Wesley was the founder of the movement that we know today as Methodism. He was considered too evangelistic, rebellious, bold, and charismatic to be an Anglican cleric. He inspired people with new vision, fresh insights, and moral imaginations about being committed, devoted Christian believers. The movement he started invited people to do whatever it took to live Christ-centered, accountable lives inside and outside of the church building. Over time, his teachings were preserved and have now become a denomination that is somewhat risk adverse. This was John Wesley's greatest fear, that someday Christians would no longer do it all for the gospel. Well, as I was looking at this this particular message and this sermon series about vision and was trying to figure out how to cast a vision and how to pull you into this this worldview and this understanding to help you understand the work of the people who spent weeks on the vision team to help us ask and answer the question, what are the next steps for St. Andrew United Methodist Church? Unless I get a call from the bishop and the cabinet, I will begin my 11th year with you in July. And it is time to ask those tough and important questions about vision. Because without vision, we know the scripture says the people perish. So how and what is it that God is calling us to do as a people, as Christians, as a congregation? While researching this particular sermon series, one of my favorite magazines is Outreach Magazine. It is an evangelistic magazine that helps pastors and lay people and leaders alike to think about how do we reach people with the good news message of Jesus Christ. And as I was reading articles and thinking of ways in which to share the vision, and by the way, I invite you to mark your calendar for June the 4th. June the 4th is the first Sunday in June. It is also Pentecost Sunday. But this year, the way that we're going to celebrate Pentecost is through looking at a new vision and figuring out ways to live out that vision as a congregation. But in this magazine, as I read one of the articles, it talked about, or in the article title was about why people leave the church and why people kind of slip away from congregational life and from gathering as a congregation of people. You know, after all, worshiping and gathering together as God's people in worship is a mandate. It is a commandment. It is one that the scripture tells us that we are not to forsake the gathering together of God's people. So how does that happen? Well, this article gives us seven of the top reasons why people slip away from congregational life and slip away from worship and participation. The first one is burnout. These people come in and they're gung-ho and they work. But after a while, and I understand, I am a cradle roll Christian. I tell you that my name was placed on the cradle roll before I was born at LaSalle Methodist that soon became United Methodist Church. And so for 61 years, I have been associated with the church, whether I knew it or not. So burnout can happen, right? Burnout happens when sometimes we don't rotate out of positions or jobs that we may stay in too long, or when we find ourselves in the wrong jobs, the wrong ways of participating in the church. But the top reason why people slip away from the church is burnout. Then there's injury. People inside of the church can be cruel. Sometimes, I heard a grunt, but it's true. Sometimes we hurt one another and we don't realize that we're hurting one another. Sometimes we say things or do things. Oftentimes we say or do things and we don't mean to do those things. That often happens, especially in the death of a loved one. We may say things that we think are comforting, but they just are not. People are injured just by us trying to do the right thing in the wrong way, and sometimes they're just injured because we're cruel. Distractions, we get distractions. Do you know on any given Sunday morning, there are over 100 things that most people just in our community could be doing other than gathering together in worship, gathering together in Sunday school or faith development, participating in activities and those things that we invite you to do to grow in your faith and practice through the church on a Sunday. And not only on a Sunday, but weekends have now been taken over by all kinds of distractions. One of the biggest hits in the state of Missouri, or in St. Louis County and Missouri proper, is the passing of the blue laws. Once people were able to shop till their drop on Sundays, the church no longer became the center point for things to do in the community. But these distractions may or seemingly may be good things. I'm not saying they're not good things and they're not wonderful things, but our weekends have been filled with distractions. Whether it's traveling or whether it's for our job, our lives get faster and faster and faster. Most people and many people are traveling every weekend. Sometimes it's illness or sickness, but over time, the lifestyle of attending and participating in church on a weekly basis turns into not attending or participating. Life change. Life change also is a big one in the life of the church and the life of the faith community. People have lifestyle changes. Again, illness, divorce, marriage and remarriage. People move to new communities. And sometimes, because life is so full, Monday through Thursday, by the time we get to the weekend, we just are out of it. No energy, nothing left. And it's hard for us to reconnect and want to do yet another thing in our life. And so people, they move away from the church because their life changes. And what we do inside of the church and teach inside of the church does not touch their lives where they are right now. Mistakes. One of the big reasons why people disconnect from the church is that they mess up. They mess up publicly. Something happens in their lives and it's very public. And it's very embarrassing. They make mistakes, and those mistakes are public, and sometimes they are private mistakes that become public. And the church is not always the safest and secure place in order for people to deal with their private and public mess-ups. But that's part of what we are called to do, church. We are called to be people who meet people where they are, even when they mess up. Because I don't know about you, but from time to time, no, more often than you think, I make mistakes. And those mistakes, whether they're private or public, are mistakes that I need to know, and I need to feel secure in the fact that I belong to a community that's willing to receive me even in the midst of my mistakes, because we all make them. And then, of course, there's power struggles. Power struggles, these are things that happen within the life of a faith community and the church. When people have their own agendas, when people begin to push their issues as opposed to the main issue of why the church exists. We exist to point people and to help them find a relationship with Jesus Christ, and to have that relationship so affect their lives that it becomes transformative and informative. But this whole idea that we struggle for power and position in Christ's holy church, the power and position in the church must always be at the feet of the cross and the foot of the cross and at the feet of Jesus Christ. And sometimes when certain groups or individual groups' demands are not met, they walk away and they leave because they or an individual feels that they have no power and no position, no voice in the life of the church. We must balance those things and allow people to have place and voice at the same time, recognizes that the voice that we are called to listen to, the voice that we are called to hear, is the voice of God in and through Jesus Christ. And then, of course, lack of connection. That's a big one, isn't it? This lack of connection where people never quite connect with other individuals in the church. Or people connect to a point that we become a system of cliques and a system of insiders and outsiders. This issue around connection, whether it's the lack of connection or connection where that is only connection with special interest groups within the church, again, is one that we must balance. Those people who never feel connected are usually those people that somehow have forgotten or that we have not connected them to Christ in such a way to empower and encourage them, to let them know that they are valued and valuable. No matter what the reason is, this whole idea, this concept of people slipping away from the church, from the modern church, has become one that we must look at closely if we are going to see a new vision for St. Andrew and for the church in general. A lot of this is due to what I call the understanding of the light-focused culture. Anyone who has set their foot in their local supermarket or convenience store in the last year to 10 years know exactly what I mean. What started out innocuously enough with a reduced calorie alcoholic beverage has formed into a whole almost cult-like understanding of how the world works. This cult-like understanding has turned us into confirmed couch potatoes. It has mushroomed like a nuclear cloud over our entire culture. Every restaurant, if it is to be a restaurant, must have a light menu where they offer a different fare. No butter, no starch, no. Light music. If you're ridden in an elevator, they have light music and they have special stations that that play nothing but what we now come to know as elevator music. Light aerobics. That's an oxymoron, right? If it's aerobics, okay, I digress. Light aerobics offer a not so light exercise or more gentle, toned down form of fitness. Light imitations of everything that you can possibly imagine. You can find it on a shelf in your supermarket. Light hot dogs, light chocolate sauce. Once again, a paradox. But light chocolate sauce, light potato chips, light pizza, light bacon and eggs. Okay. Anyway, but this whole notion of light, this euphemism has described a philosophy where that things that are in the original form are somehow always bad for us. Not only does this huge consumer group demand less fat, less calories, less stress, less demanding relationships. They want things, or we want things that are good and better, but they have to be manageable. We live in a universe where light is thought about as a lifestyle, but you know that light understanding has now creeped into the Christian faith community. Not wanting to be challenged too much in the church, not wanting to be confronted too often. We want ambiguity and mystery, but we want it embroiled in relationships that might be convenient as opposed to inconvenient. People are also looking for God light. In contrast to the recent past, this massive understanding of secularizing the church to make the church more modern. And the only way that we can make the church more modern is that we have to make God a God that's only approachable when we need God. One that may only reveal what we want God to reveal when we want God to reveal it to us. We have become consumers of God's love, consumers of the church and what the church has to offer. And so this new religion, this new understanding that God sits in pews on Sunday morning and we don't want God to interfere in our lives on Monday through Saturday. This is a problem for us as Christian believers because it means that we have to believe in otherness light. The core value of the church is connecting with people and individuals where they are. But that means we've got to step outside of our comfort zones in order to reach the other. This otherness light, or this otherness light, who God is this God of sweetness This lighthearted, L-I-T-E, lighthearted God, is one of the things that we are told to sell by the culture in the church. Because if God becomes too controversial or too much of a disciplinarian or asks too much of us, then we can move on to the next thing. Christianity has often stressed the loving, supportive nature of God. The gentle Jesus, the meek and mild Jesus, the image of a Savior who is complex yet simple. But we know the truth. What Jesus did on the cross more than 2,000 years ago, there is no simplicity to it. As a matter of fact, it blows our mind that God is both loving and judging, fully trustworthy, yet wholly unpredictable. Above all, God is recognized as the source of life and light, L-I-G-H-T, light. God is strength and force beyond human control. And if we can't control it, then we may not want to deal with it. But thank be to God, God is not a controllable God. But God is the God who gives grace. Grace in the midst of all that we must deal with each and every day. It is this whole idea of the church that is called to otherness. To the otherness of a God who is transcendent, God who cannot be understood, yet the same God who invites us to draw near. And not just draw near to one another, but to draw near in the face of what's going on in our world. God light could never have survived the Roman persecution that we read about in Scripture. God light could have never brought each and every one of us through those things and those times in our lives when we needed something more than what human beings can offer. I thank God that God is not a God light. Amen. The scripture tells us this morning that you are witnesses of these things. One of the things that you have witnessed that if it had not been for the power of God and the light of God, you may not have been able to see your way through. One of those things that you have experienced and you continue to experience when you know you can be a part of a community of faith such as St. Andrew, knowing that this community of faith will be here with you and for you. And the scripture goes on to say, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Well, guess what, people? He was talking about Pentecost. It has come and gone, and we are here. And what we are waiting on has already arrived, and we must be a part of that new light and new life in Jesus Christ. We are part of gospel light sharing, L-I-G-S-T, light. Ask you a question this morning. Would Jesus feel welcome as he walked through the doors of our welcome center and our worship center? Would he want to become a member of St. Andrew United Methodist Church? Would he be interested, or would he even care? Would he even recognize us as being a faith community called out and set apart to set the world on fire in his name, because he gave his best to and for each and every one of us? Clearly, this kind of gospel light sharing must resemble the founder of the Christian faith. We must look and figure out how to resemble Christ and not be so worried about being Christian light. It is precisely the kind of church that Jesus Christ would want to be a part of. One that offers life, one that offers an opportunity for people to use their gifts to change their lives, the lives of their loved ones, and the world. That's what we're called to do and to be as the church. I think there is also one word. It is a cautionary word that I give to you today as we also look at the scripture of what Paul reminds us that we must be willing to do in order to be the people of God in Jesus Christ. I wonder if we are truly willing to do as he said in the text from Corinthians. To the weak, I became weak, so that I might be weak. I have become all things to all people, that I might by means save some. I do it. I do it for the sake of the gospel, so that I may share in its blessings. Note that he said, I do it for the gospel so that I might share in its blessings. Please don't ever think if you're part of the church that you're part of sharing or giving out of what God has given you, that we're teaching or preaching socialism. We're teaching blessings, my brothers and sisters, blessings that come recognizing that what we do comes out of the blessings of God through Jesus Christ. And so I think there's a word, and that word to those that may be on the verge of not being a part of this congregation or any congregation, I say to you, beware. Beware if you feel a need for the church or something that we need to do here in St. Andrew. Beware and let us know what that is. And more importantly, not just let us know what it is, but help us figure out how to do it better and do it the best that we can. For it is a biblical mandate that you be a part of the body of Jesus Christ. It is a biblical mandate that you stay connected. Then guard your heart as you help us become our better selves. As we come to the table today, we are reminded that we once upon a time said that we were willing. We were willing to give time, talent, service, money. We were willing to do what it takes to spread the gospel. In fact, we will be a better church, a better congregation. I'll be a better pastor. You'll be a better layperson if we claim that again. I pray that as we come to the table, we remember that. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, let all God's people say amen. Amen. It is Christ our Lord who invites us to this table. All who seek to live and love and to learn and to grow as Christian believers, as people of faith and practice. I ask you to open your hearts and your minds and your spirits as we begin the great Thanksgiving. I also invite the ushers to come forward and stand with us today so that they can receive Holy Communion and be prepared after they have received Holy Communion to help those of you move forward as we take Holy Communion. The ushers, please come forward, and I'll ask you to stand with us here so that you can take communion, so you won't be wondering, well, when do I take communion? The time is now. Thank you so much. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and good and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, brought us to the land flowing with milk and honey, and set before us the way of life. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. By your great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of your Son from the dead. Once we were no people, but now we are your people, declaring your wonderful deeds in Christ, who died, who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. When the Lord Jesus ascended, he promised to be with us always in the power of your word and the power of the Holy Spirit. On the night in which Jesus Christ gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." With the breaking and blessing of this bread, we serve not a God light, L-I-T-E, but God who brings light and life in the midst of darkness. Thanks be to God. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of a new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you shall drink it." Historically, when this table was given to us, and the historic meal of the table, they would eat the meal first, and then the cup would be poured. And so with the pouring and blessing of this cup, are we not too sharing in that new covenant in the blood of Christ? And so, when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of a new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so we lift and bless this cup, knowing that we too share once again in this blessed table. On the day you raised him from the dead, he was recognized by his disciples by the breaking of the bread. And in the power of your Holy Spirit, your church was continued in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup. And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ is died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine, bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ and one with each other and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. And now we pray that prayer that our Lord Jesus Christ taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Thanks be to God.